I've told us several versions of the same story, but let me give you my most direct. In September of 2023, while some were starting to announce their candidacy, I started to ask around so that I can do what I normally do during election cycles, which is look at the landscape and see who really I need to support in order to continue the business I do on a daily basis. And so by being a quasi-lobbyist, being able to combine that with community organizing and using my business acumen, I very well get involved in a lot of campaigns. And so no one was able to convince me of a plan or a team that was organized and mobilized enough to be able to perform these duties once elected or to even campaign properly in order to get elected. And so I did my full assessment, and quite honestly, being a lifelong Detroiter, born and raised Detroit public schools, I just felt the need to step in for my generation and the future generations to give a reality check of where we are, which is one of the most pivotal times in Detroit's history in which we can actually make history. But I've seen too many people lose trying to win, and I cannot sit by and not put my name in a hat to give Detroit a real choice from my perspective.
So given that assessment, where is Detroit right now in your mind?
Detroit is where I believe we were during the Kavanaugh, Cobo days, on the cusp of what would be the new era of those Coleman days. It's this passing of the torch, succession, accelerated growth position that we're in. And so what I mean by that is this. In 62 and 68, we made bid for the Olympics. That's because the infrastructure and everything was just right to encourage investment to come into the city in a very large way. We fell short and came in second, I believe, both times, in which that would have took our city to where Atlanta or some of the other major cities are currently at. We missed that boat, but it's not too late. 50 years, you would have think, would have totally put us at a disadvantage. But with technology evolving at the rapid speed it is in this current day, it gives us prime opportunity to accelerate growth, because I am pro-growth, both in the community and for any travel, tourism, and downtown corporate entities that need to be here. But ultimately, it has to be well-rounded, it has to be comprehensive, and it has to be regional. And that doesn't mean just a tri-county area. We sit on the border of an international waterway in which Canada has to be considered in that regional play internationally. And so that brings in a lot of different factors that I believe you need someone that is versed, vetted, and experienced in all and diverse sectors and industries.
So if you were to win the race, would you seek another Olympic bid for Detroit?
That is my goal within the first 2.5 terms of my administration. My goal is within the next 10 to 12 years position. So in 2036, I believe, or 2038, somewhere around there, we can actually make that bid.
You're running for mayor. What do you say to a grandmother? And what do you say to a new voter who is 18 years old? That you're the candidate. You're the person they want for mayor.
To that grandmother, I'm going to very well tell her that I'm one of the ones that understands how and what was fought for in order for us to get to where we are. It again surprises me how God has continued to put these type of connections to yesteryear and the missions and the fights and the initiatives of yesteryear. And it's so deeply embedded into my DNA, just like Detroit's map is embedded into my DNA, that I can't shake it. And so to that elder who might have had a veteran on 8 Mile in Southfield, who his wife had a brain aneurysm and then he had to give up his bus and couldn't perform transportation services as a small business anymore, I'm going to tell him I understand why their house is falling apart, because the city hasn't come and offered any repair programs. I'm going to tell them that I understand that I need to get something to them to create, or caregiver service to create and ease that pressure on him on a day-to-day basis. But even more so to that youth and that 18-year-old who probably is voting for the first time, I'm going to help them to understand that, listen, everything that the world was inspired from Barack Obama to everything that they might have heard in school about Dr. King, that's part of their history. They're a living legacy right now. And just African Americans didn't put Barack Obama in. America put Barack Obama in. And it's continued to put other presidents in for whatever reason. But ultimately, we have signs and examples of coming together. And that 18-year-old has to be inspired, has to have some sense of hope to be able to own their future. You have to own your future. And the only way to do that is to speak up for yourself. And the first step is to vote. And so I'm in a full engagement mode. This is the fourth quarter. I'm knocking on doors every day. When I leave here, I'm going to knock on some doors. Because ultimately, the youth as well as the senior need to see that someone is working on their behalf, accessible as they can possibly be, and understands why property taxes, drainage fees, and utility bills should not be what they are. And they need someone that's going to advocate for them when the time is right.